I think because no one else used all their time, I get twice as much. So I've got two papers to use. I want to welcome everyone here this afternoon. I don't see any visitors here today, but I'm sure glad to have everyone come back and have the confidence in me that I won't fall underneath the pulpit here, and I can present a lesson that is going to go with our gospel meaning of how the road to the Messiah. And my talk will be about Isaac and where he fits into the road to the Messiah. I really have a little bit of a review to do. Mark did a great job this morning. But as you all know, these all fit together. How can you talk about Abraham without talking about Isaac? And how can you talk about Isaac without talking about Jacob? They are so intertwined at certain points in their life. They have to be put together, and it's going to be a repeat, so to speak. But we know from what Mark showed us this morning, the promises that God gave to Abraham about the land and the nation, but especially about the families of the earth would be blessed in the coming Messiah. And he also mentioned that Abraham and Sarah tried to help God. And in doing that, Sarah, of course, gave Hagar to Abraham, and they had a son, Ishmael. That does play a part in this whole thing, and we have to remember that it's a good possibility that Isaac will remember that. But again, as Mark said, in Genesis 17:19, God tells him that Sarah is going to have a son, and even tells him, you will name him Isaac. So Isaac's story. Now, this is in Genesis chapters 21, 22, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 31, and 35. And you will find most all of the story there. I have a lot of scriptures that are going to be on the screen. I'm not going to be reading all of these scriptures, but they're up there, and they will be where I obtained the things that I'm going to say, for the most part. The way that it's laid out in the scripture, which I'm sure everyone knows, is not chronological in every case. There were a couple things that I could not figure out exactly where it went, but I think I've done about as good a job as we can do. But Isaac was the promised son to Abraham and Sarah. He was born when Abraham was 100, Sarah was 90, Ishmael was 13. He was circumcised on the eighth day, as was the agreement that Abraham made with God. Abraham gave a great feast when Isaac was weaned. And this would have been anywhere from 1 to 5 years old, so Ishmael would have been 14 to 18. This is why I say Isaac may well have remembered Ishmael, and I'm sure he was told about Ishmael in his life. But Sarah caught Ishmael teasing Isaac, and so in Genesis 21 and 10, she goes to Abraham and says, cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, namely with Isaac. So even though Abraham did not want to cast him out, God gave his permission, and they were cast out. Isaac is now full grown, and they go to the land of Moriah, which again we were told about this morning. And One of the things that I learned in this, and Mark brought out, this area of Moriah is Jerusalem. The most ancient name of the city was Salem, and that's where he talked about Melchizedek. This is something else I didn't realize, that that was the area that was that took place in. And that's in Genesis 14 and 18. And also in Psalm 76:2, it mentions the ancient city. Later, it was called Jebus. It belonged to the Jebusites. And that, you can find that in Judges 19:10 and 11. David conquered it in 2 Samuel 5, 6. And in verse 9, he calls it the City of David. So, of course, it was greatly enlarged and fortified, and that's where Solomon built his temple. But Isaac was to be sacrificed, and he went with them. Like I said, he is full grown because they tell us that he carried the wood. And I had also thought about it until not too many years ago that he was just a baby. And that's what they show in pictures, especially in the church, and I say in quotes, that I was brought up in. So being full grown, this is something that has to play on your mind of what's going to happen. And Mark read this morning in Genesis 22 and 7 how he asks his father, we got the wood, we got the fire, where's the sacrifice? The altar was built, wood was laid, and Isaac was bound and put on the altar. Not yet. But a substitute was provided. A ram was found and used for the sacrifice, and therefore Isaac was not. When he was 36, his mother died. I think all of these things are involved with his personality and the things that he did throughout his life. In Genesis 24, 2 through 8, it says, "So Abraham said to the oldest servant of his house who ruled over all that he had, 'Please put your hand under my thigh, and I will make you swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of earth, that you will not take a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell.'" "But you shall go to my country and to my family and take a wife for my son Isaac." And the servant said to him, "Perhaps the woman will not be willing to follow me to this land. Must I take your son back to the land from which you came?" But Abraham said to him, "Beware that you do not take my son back there. The Lord God of heaven, who took me from my father's house and from the land of my family, and who spoke to me and swore to me, saying, 'To your descendants I give this land,' he will send his angel before you, and you shall take a wife for my son from there. And if the woman is not willing to follow you, you will be released from this oath. Only do not take my son back there." And we assume that this servant was Eleazar from Genesis 15 and 2, where Abraham, talking with God, says, "I go childless, and the heir to my house is Eleazar of Damascus." And so that sounds pretty reasonable to me. So that's what I have used in my lesson, that it is Eleazar. Eleazar goes to the city of Nahor in Mesopotamia. And in Genesis 24:12-14, he stops when he gets there and prays and says, "O Lord God of my master Abraham, please give me success this day and show kindness to my master Abraham. Behold, here I stand by the well of water, and the daughters of men of the city are coming out to draw water. Now let it be that the young woman to whom I say, 'Please let down your pitcher that I may drink,' and she says, 'Drink, and I will also give your camels a drink,' let her be the one you have appointed for your servant Isaac. And by this I will know that you have shown kindness to my master." Rebekah comes and fulfills everything that Eleazar has asked in his prayer. And she's very beautiful, which leads to a problem for Isaac later. Eliezer goes and talks to the family and receives permission from them for Rebekah to become Isaac's wife. In Genesis 24, 54 through 58, got ahead of myself. And he, Eleazar, and the men who were with him ate and drank and stayed the night. Then they arose, and in the morning he said, "Send me away to my master." But her brother and her mother said, "Let the young woman stay with us a few days, at least 10. After that she may go." And he said to them, "Do not hinder me, since the Lord has prospered my way. Send me so that I may go to my master." So they said, "We will call the young woman and ask her permission, or ask her personally." Then they called Rebekah and said to her, "Will you go with this man?" And she said, "I will go." So at this point, Isaac is about 40 years old. Eliezer returns with Rebekah. And in Genesis 24, starting in verse 64, is when Rebekah lifted her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she dismounted from her camel. For she had said to the servant, "Who is this man walking in the field to meet us?" And the servant said, "It is my master." So she took a veil and covered herself. And the servant told Isaac all the things that he had done. And so they repeated the story of how he had prayed and how Rebekah met everything that he had asked God for. Then Isaac brought her to his mother's tent, Sarah's tent, and took Rebekah, and she became his wife, and he loved her. So Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. About 20 years go by. Rebekah is still childless. Isaac prays or pleaded with God for Rebekah. And when Isaac's about 60, the Lord granted his plea, and Rebekah has twins, Jacob and Esau. Then Isaac inherits all from his father. When Isaac's about 75 years old, he's living in Beer Lahai Roy when his father Abraham dies. And in Genesis 26, 1 through 4, there was a famine in the land. Oops. Got behind. Next. There's a famine in the land. Besides the first famine that Mark talked about in the days of Abraham, Isaac went to Abimelech, king of the Philistines, in Gerar. Then the Lord appeared to him and said, "Do not go down to Egypt. Live in the land of which I shall tell you. Dwell in this land, and I will be with you and bless you. For your descendants I give all these lands, and I will perform the oath which I swore to Abraham your father. And I will make your descendants multiply as the stars of heaven. And I will give to your descendants all these lands, and in your seed all nations of the earth shall be blessed." So again, repeating the promise that was given. Then when he's in Gerar, he tells the men that Rebekah is his sister. Because he's afraid the men will kill him for her because of her beauty. Abimelech, king of the Philistines, becomes aware of the deceit after they've been there for quite some time and confronts Isaac. And then he charges his men, Abimelech charges his people, saying, "He who touches this man or his wife shall surely be put to death," in Genesis 26:11. Isaac then plants a field and produces the same year 100-fold. The Lord continues to bless Isaac, and he becomes very prosperous with flocks and herds and a great number of servants. The Philistines envied him and stopped of his wells, the wells that were dug by Abraham, his father's servants. Abimelech comes to him then and asks him to leave the area because he's more powerful than they are. So he moves to the valley of Gerar. He again has trouble with the herdsmen there over the wells that Abraham has dug. And so rather than to fight with them, he again moves and travels to Beersheba. There, God appears to him and repeats the great nation promise. Isaac builds an altar there and calls on the name of the Lord, digs a new well, which produces much water. Then Abimelech comes there to him and wants a peace treaty. He acknowledges that God's with him, and he knows that if it comes to war, he's going to lose. So he asks Isaac for the peace treaty, which Isaac gives to him, and then continues on living in that area for a while. At age 40, Esau marries two Hittite women, which grieves both Isaac and Rebekah. Now Isaac has gotten to be about 160. He has poor eyesight. He knows his life is coming to an end. He calls Esau to give him a blessing. But first he wants him to go out and hunt and make him a tasty meal. Rebekah intercedes, and the blessing is given to Jacob. Esau later is given a blessing. But Isaac then commands Jacob not to take a wife from the daughters of the Canaanites. And passes on the blessings of Abraham onto Jacob, and then sends him to Padan Aram to find a wife. Jacob returns to Isaac about 20 years later with his wives and children and livestock. Then Isaac dies at the age of 180. This is a comparison now, or just some observations in Isaac's life in relation to Jesus the Christ. Isaac was a son of promise. In Genesis 17 and 19, which we've read, God tells Abraham, tells Abraham, Sarah, your wife, shall bear you a son, and you shall call his name Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant and with his descendants after him. Jesus was also the son of promise, or the promised Messiah. In Acts 2:36 says, therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. It's a miracle birth. In Hebrews 11:11, it says, by faith Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Jesus, in Matthew 1:23, said, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Isaac was sacrificed. In Hebrews 11:17, it says, by faith Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son. Jesus was sacrificed for the sins of mankind. In Hebrews 9:26, the second part of it says, but now, once at the end of the ages, he has appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Isaac was raised up. In Hebrews 11:19, concluding that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense. Christ was raised up on the third day. In Acts 10:40, God raised up on the third day and showed him openly. Eliezer was sent to find a bride. In Genesis 24:4, he's told, "But you shall go to my country and to my family and take a wife for my son Isaac." The Holy Spirit was sent to guide the apostles that a bride may be found for the Christ. Revelations 19:7-8 says, "Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints." Isaac had one bride. Now, as I read through the scriptures, I can read of others having more than one wife, Abraham, Jacob, and many others. I can only find one wife for Isaac, and that's Rebekah. There's only one bride for Christ. Ephesians 4:4 said there's one body, or the church, and one spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Isaac was a peaceful man. He could have been angry with his father for taking him and sacrificing him. But instead, he saw his father's faith. He could have fought over the wells in Gerar where he was. He was more powerful than they were, it says. But he didn't. He chose just to move to a different area. Jesus is the one that gives peace. I know he said he came not for peace, but to give a sword. But this is a little different type of peace. In John 14:27, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give it to you. Let your heart not be troubled, neither let it be afraid." And also in Romans 10:15, the second part of that is, "As it's written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things." Isaac and us. Isaac was a child of promise. In Galatians 4:22-23, "For it's written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondwoman, the other by a free woman. That he who was of the bondwoman was born according to the flesh, and he of the free woman through the promise." Us, we are children of promise. In Galatians 4:28, it says, "Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are children of promise." God gave a ram as a substitute for Isaac. In Genesis 22:13, it says, "Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up for a burnt offering instead of his son." God gave Jesus as a substitute for us. In 1 John 2:2, it says, "And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world." Christ is a propitiation because by his becoming our substitute and assuming our obligations, he paid the penalty for our guilt. He covered it by the punishment by which he endured. The road to the Messiah, Isaac was in it as the second person that God made the promise that all families of the earth would be blessed through his seed, and that was the Messiah. The land promise, the nation promise, the Messiah promise all came true because they believed God and followed him. The only way we can expect to have the promises that God gives is to follow him as he commands us. We must make the choice of believing what we hear, and like Rebekah did, and act on it. She left family, friends, home, country, to go to a place she'd never seen, become the wife of a man she'd never met because she believed the things she heard. That's our duty today, is to believe the things that we hear and read in God's Word. We're to repent, Acts 17:30. We're to confess, Romans 10:9 and 10. We're to be baptized, Acts 2:38. We're also to remain faithful, not go back, just as Eleazar was warned, don't take Isaac back to that land. God told us to leave. We shouldn't look back at our old life. Jesus tells us in Luke 9:62, no one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Anyone that's subject to the Lord's invitation, make the confession, be baptized, or if anyone has strayed back and needs to acknowledge that publicly, we're ready here to pray with you and for you. Whatever your spiritual need, won't you come while we stand and sing?